In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade for McCullough, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM, 7:50 a.m. NFL football teams moving into camp. The first preseason game is scheduled to take place in just a little over a week. I mean, we're really, really getting close. In fact, Denver Bronco fans, you'll be happy to know that you'll start off the preseason on August 11th as you take on the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. Joining us right now to talk some NFL football, we have our Drive Time Sports NFL insider, Brian Mejia, who is also a brand new father. So, Brian, not only welcome back to the show, but congratulations on the birth of your son.
I appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, and you know, it's an awesome blessing. I'm very happy to have my little boy. But other than that, it's finally football season as well, and I can't wait to watch these NFL games with my son.
Yeah, it's going to be a very fun year for you, to say the least. Let's start by talking about some of the big headlines. Obviously, a week and a half ago, Tom Brady made the announcement that he would not fight anymore as far as the Deflategate goes. He's going to serve his four-game suspension. Fantasy owners, I talked some fantasy football on the show last week. I said, look, don't draft Tom Brady because you're only going to get this guy for about 8 weeks of your fantasy football regular season. Stay away from him unless it's just a deal that you can't possibly pass up. Beyond the fantasy ranks, we take a look at what this actually means for the New England Patriots. Four games, three out of those four at home. Is it time to worry? I mean, does this really put New England behind the eight ball, or do you think once Brady returns to the field, it'll be smooth sailing?
You know, I definitely think that by the time he's back, they'll at worst be 2-2. I don't see how a Bill Belichick coach team is going to go 1-3 or 0-4. And obviously, he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL. So when you get him back, you're going to start tearing up the league once again. So I think the Pats are going to be okay. I think they're going to be able to win at least two out of those four games. I don't see how they can go 0-4, 1-3, like I said. Best scenario is obviously 4-0. And then, you know, people start questioning if Brady should be the starter again. That's a joke, but
right.
I definitely think Tom's going to come back and rip up the league as soon as he's back against the Browns in week 5. And, you know, a lot of people are starting to say, oh, what if Jimmy takes Tom's spot? And, well, I know probably 31 other teams, maybe other than the Packers and Cardinals and Seahawks and maybe the Steelers, that would be calling to get the services of Tom Brady.
Yeah, there's two teams in my mind that would not give up their quarterback to get Tom Brady. Indianapolis with Andrew Luck and Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Outside of that, everybody would give up probably the farm to get Tom Brady. So I don't think New England's going to have a problem there at all. But it is a fun storyline to follow.
It definitely is, because a lot of people are trying to, you know, it's July, so a lot of people like to bring up things that probably won't happen, and because it's a very soft and there's not a lot of stuff going on in the sports world right now, but obviously the NFL training camps are here, so football is here, so that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, let's stick with the AFC. I want to talk about the New York Jets here for a moment. This was a team that should have made the postseason last year. They faltered last game of the year against the Buffalo Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick did not have a good game. I believe he threw three interceptions, if I remember correctly, in that contest. Still, Fitzpatrick, he's not playing for anybody. It's July 27th, Brian, and he has not yet signed with the Jets. What does Fitzpatrick's future hold? And of course, we expect him to be playing for the Jets before the first preseason game, right?
I don't know if it's going to happen before the first one, but I definitely expect it to happen before the season kicks off, because I think they're at a standstill right now. And Ryan definitely feels that he should be paid handsomely. He should be getting paid between $15 to $20 million a year, and the Jets don't feel that way. The Jets feel that they topped off and that he's not going to get any more production than he had last year. The Jets don't feel that he's a guy that's going to be in the top 15 quarterbacks. And honestly, I wouldn't feel that confident either. I think Mike McCagan's doing a good job of not, you know, giving in and paying him the money that I don't think he's going to deserve long term. Also, I don't think the Jets quarterback of the future is on the roster, or it's not even Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they're going to be drafting one next year. So I think the Jets probably are going to ride it out with Geno Smith. If they don't get something done with Ryan, I think they're going to ride it out with Geno, and I think they're going to probably get in the top five, get a top five pick, and bring him to New York and solidify the quarterback position with a brand new quarterback in the draft.
I want to stick with quarterbacks here for a moment. We'll move on. We'll talk the Denver Broncos here for a moment. It really looks as if Mark Sanchez is going to replace Peyton Manning for their NFL title defense, unless something different pops up. I know Paxton Lynch was very vocal this week saying that he feels that he could start sooner rather than later. The Broncos can certainly win with defense, but, I mean, I think everyone now expects Mark Sanchez to be the man in Denver.
And that's not something that I would say that the Broncos or the fans are going to want to see, because I definitely don't think that it's going to work out the way they want it to. I'm a big fan of Mark, coming out of USC, obviously, but I don't see how it's going to work out to where they're going to be able to defend that title and make the playoffs this year if they're going to have Mark Sanchez as their quarterback, or even Paxton Lynch. I just don't see how it's going to work out for the Broncos. I know they're the Super Bowl champions, and, you know, obviously a big reason for that is their defense, but I don't think their defense can hold up that long in terms of winning 10, 12 games this year with very, very mediocre quarterback play, and especially if Mark is the starter the whole year, and if they bring in a rookie quarterback in Paxton Lynch, I don't see how it's going to work out for them. But obviously that great defense is going to play good, and we're going to see a lot of close games, but I don't know how it's going to work out for the Broncos, especially because number 18 is not on the field anymore.
We'll kind of use this to transition into Philadelphia and their quarterback situation. But, Brian, how serious were the Broncos about acquiring Sam Bradford in the offseason? And if they were serious, how serious was Philadelphia about dealing Sam Bradford?
The Eagles wanted to deal him. And I know that because I talked to a couple of people. But they said the Eagles wanted to deal him. But it didn't happen because there's just too much guaranteed money. That contract that the Eagles gave him is just, the Broncos weren't willing to give up a second or third round pick for him. And I think the Broncos did a swell job in terms of not giving up too much for a guy, not overreacting, and not giving up too much for a guy that's probably going to start for them for a year or two. So, and the Broncos, you know, being as it may, they won the Super Bowl last year with, you know, I know it was Peyton Manning. He's probably the best quarterback that ever lived, but he had the most mediocre year of anybody I've ever seen. And the Broncos still won the Super Bowl like that, given
right.
They lost a lot of personnel this offseason. But I think the Broncos will be, you know, should feel good about not giving up that much for Sam or even Colin Kaepernick. I think the Broncos did a good job in that sense.
Again, our guest right now is Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider. We're talking quarterback battles right now, the quarterback storylines floating around the NFL. I will stick with it for a moment. In Cleveland, Robert Griffin III attempting to restart his career. Analytics, I mean, it's going to be intensive under, of course, Hugh Jackson, I think is a perfect spot for Robert Griffin. Does he have anything to worry about holding off Josh McCown and Cody Kessler to keep that starting job in Cleveland, or is it his?
I think it's his for the first couple of weeks. We'll see how he does with Josh Gordon when he gets back week five. I think Josh McCown's going to give him a push in training camp, but I think Robert's going to be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this year. And I think that's a good fit for him. I think Hugh Jackson's going to work with him. If not, I think Josh McCown could do a good job after. But I definitely think it's going to be a quarterback carousel this year in Cleveland. I could see Robert for the first month and a half, and after Josh McCown, and we'll finish off the year with Cody Kessler. I think the Browns could probably win between 5 and 7 games this year, just because I think Hugh Jackson's going to bring a new spark to that team, and I think it's going to be a good one for them.
What does Chip Kelly do in San Francisco? Blaine Gabbert, Colin Kaepernick. I mean, to me, first off, when Chip Kelly took the job in San Francisco, the first thing that popped into my mind is, okay, this is exactly what Colin Kaepernick needs. Chip Kelly can install a system that will benefit Colin Kaepernick. The read option is something that it seems like teams have really adjusted to. And so Chip Kelly can throw a new wrinkle into the playbook for Colin Kaepernick. Yet there's so much uncertainty surrounding Kaepernick and his career in San Francisco.
I don't know who's going to start in San Francisco, buddy. That situation where they, when you hear the words, Blaine Gabbert might be the starter the whole year, it's a little scary, even though I know Blaine pretty good under Jeep Chris last year, and obviously under Jim Samsula as well. But, you know, having Chip Kelly there, I agree with you. I think if they could get Cap right, and if Cap could be the guy that's going to lead the 49ers this year, especially under the Chip Kelly offense, I think they're going to be you know, I don't think they could. I think at best they'll be 8-8 because I don't think they have the talent to be a contending NFC West team. But I could see them winning like the Browns between 5 and 7 games if everything goes well. And I think Chip can work well with any quarterback. I just don't know if he can, you know, probably help out Blaine Gabbert the way people think he can. But I think if he could get Cap right, I think he could really be in contention to win 5 and 7 games this year.
We'll end with a team that, as far as the quarterback talk goes, we're going to end with a team that you're going to be extremely familiar with. Jared Goff, number one pick for the Los Angeles Rams. How long before we see Goff out on the field in a regular season game, if not week one? And if so, what are the expectations like right now for Goff in the Los Angeles area? That's where you're at right now. So what's the atmosphere surrounding him and this team?
You know, if I had to go to Las Vegas right now and put odds on that, I'd say he's the favorite to start. I think he's going to be the starter. I don't think you give up that much to not have him start, especially because you have this great defense behind him. I think the Rams' defense is so good. That D-line and, you know, the back end is pretty good as well. I think they're going to definitely start with Jared Goff this year. Also, the expectations that I have for him, and I think he's going to do a good job because, obviously, I think he's going to have the leading rusher in the NFL in Todd Gurley. So I think he's going to have – we could see him maybe between 15 to 25 attempts a game, probably 190 yards a game, two touchdowns to one interception per game. I think that's a pretty good ceiling for Jared Goff this year. The Rams, honestly, Jordan, I definitely think the Rams could be fighting for something this year. I think they could get closer to 8-8, maybe up there this year, because I think they're a very good team, and I think if they do a good job with Jared Goff, I think – Jeff Fisher's game plan this year is going to be, obviously we know what Jeff Fisher does with quarterbacks and the way he likes to run the ball and play good defense. I think, you know, with Jared, I think they're going to be able to do that. And I think he's going to have a pretty good rookie year. I actually do think he's going to win Rookie of the Year.
That's Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider, talking quarterback situations right now in the NFL. The season is definitely getting close. Brian, I'd love to get you back on next week. We'll flip positions. We'll talk running backs. How does that sound?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right. That's Brian Mejia here on Drive Time Sports. We'll pause for just a second, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
Welcome to my house.